I'm not a time traveler. I'm just not back from Indianapolis yet. Yes, I know it's a Monday, but that's irrelevant because I'm playing the time games again. I had to record a couple shows before I left, so as I sit here at my desk, it's Thursday. As you sit there at your desk with your coffee, it's Monday. On Wednesday, I made another show after this one ahead of time, so I have yet to make that show. Never mind. On Wednesday, you will hear about the great meeting in Indianapolis. I'm calling what is not as though it were, because it will be. Hello, everyone. Martin Zender on the Revelation Extravaganza. Or is it an extravaganza? I believe it's an extravaganza. I much prefer that, because we're taking you on a yellow brick road of revelation. That's what I'm going to call it from now on. Or maybe just for today. Now, the timing of the trumps. This is important because the seventh trumpet covers a long period of time, several months at least. So it's not as though the seventh trump blows and then everything starts happening at once. There's a series of things that happen subsequent to the blast of the seventh trumpet. By the way, this is the last day of the seventh trumpet. The last day I'm going to compare the two, because they'll be compared the trumpet, the seventh trumpet, with the last trump of 1 Corinthians 15. Tomorrow, we're going to enter the temple section. And there's a great analogy with Paul that I'm going to bring to your mind that will help explain to you why, with the temple section, we are going back in time, but covering the same period of time from a religious rather than a political perspective. So the seventh trumpet covers a space of probably several months, because several months are needed to include everything that occurs under the seventh trumpet. But with Paul, the last trump, it is not a prolonged blast, as this one probably is. Paul's trumpet that he speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a short, sharp note of only an instant's duration. And we, the members of the body of Christ, will be changed in an instant. You notice everything in Israel is drawn out. And it's true that we're in the last 3.5 years in chapter 11, or in the unveiling of Jesus Christ, let's say, okay, the last 7 years. But even in the last 7 years, things are drawn out. It's eventually going to happen, but it's so frustrating. You may think that our call is frustrating, but if you ask me, compared to the unveiling, it's not. Because we're changed in an instant. It's not like he starts to change us and then finds out this look and see what we're doing and takes a poll, or the last trump is really 10 trumpet blasts. No, nothing like that at all. And now, this is a really huge difference. Paul's epistles concern grace. I'm going to get to that in a second, though. But here's what I was telling you. If you want to read the book of Acts, you will read of Paul's entire ministry in the book of Acts, right? But it's as pertains to his ministry among the Jews. Now, this confuses a lot of people, and I'm drawing an analogy in the book of Revelation. Because the book of Acts is not intended to show the contents of Paul's letters that he is writing during trips he is taking, trips that are described for us step by step, point by point in the book of Acts. But it's not the burden or the job of the book of Acts to tell us what Paul's doctrine is. So everything that he wrote to and for the nations, and that's connected with the present administration of God's grace, happened during the Acts, so-called administration. I mean, Acts begins, it doesn't begin, but Paul is called in Acts chapter 9, and by Acts chapter 28, he's an old man in prison. Not a word about really what he did. Never mind lighting, what happened? Well, the sun's playing games with me, okay? We're back into the shadows, that's okay. So it's another divine line between Paul and the other nations. In Acts, you're only going to hear about Paul's relationship to the Jews, and it's not until he writes his letters where we go to the individual letters he wrote that we get detailed instructions, detailed information about his personal ministry. So Thessalonians is a great example. In Acts, he goes into the synagogues at Thessalonica, and he tries to reach the Jews because he was called, you remember, on the road to Damascus to testify before both Jews and Greeks and kings. So there's a lot of believing Gentiles there, obviously, but they're hardly given a footnote in the book of Acts because Acts doesn't care. But when you read his letter to the Thessalonians, you hardly get the impression that there are any Jews there. It's all for the nations in that book. Because the book to the letter to the Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Paul is talking to them directly. And in Acts, he's not, but he's there. But Luke, the writer of Acts, doesn't tell us that. Luke is a circumcision writer. I mean, he hung around with Paul. Was Luke in the body of Christ? Oh, boy, that's a... Yes. I believe Luke was one of those rare Jews who jumped ship into Paul's evangel. And yet, he was so detailed. I was talking to Dan Sheridan on the phone the other day, and Dan was telling me this interesting story. There's an archaeologist or a scholar, some sort of researcher who read the book of Acts, and he went to the Holy Land, to Asia Minor, and sought to discount it, to disprove the book of Acts, because he was an atheist, or something of that nature. So the guy goes out there, and he looks up all these places where Luke said this happened, that happened, goes through the records, the archaeological accounts. The guy comes to find out, and he says that Luke was the most accurate recorder of history he had ever come across. Luke was so thorough in his details that the guy turned into a believer. And now apparently this guy's doing the same thing with Paul's letters, going to research the land of Paul, the places where he journeyed. But the point is that Luke, as an historian, deals with the nation of Israel. Now, how does this apply to the book of Revelation? Because in chapters 1 through 11, we've been reading about the political fortunes of Israel and the earth. While those political things have been taking place, the wild beast has been on the scene, the woman, all these, the wild beast demanding worship, the man of lawlessness, all these things have been going on, but John hasn't said a word about it. Has he? Well, tomorrow we are going to find out what happens, what has been happening pertaining to the religious deliverance of the earth. So you can see that while this is contained in one book, it's easier to see in Acts and 1 Thessalonians because different writers, different books. Here's the same writer, and yet the same writer has two different viewpoints as the Holy Spirit is inspiring him. One for the throne, the political deliverance. One for the temple, the religious deliverance. Now, the greatest contrast between the trump spoken of by Paul, the last trump, and the seventh trumpet of the unveiling chapter 11 is that Paul's is an evangel of grace. And the circumcision evangel is a mixture of works and grace. When the last trump comes, some of us will be drowsing, will be sleeping. But that doesn't matter because whether we drowse or are awake, we will be snatched away together with Christ. Not so with the circumcision evangel. Those awaiting Christ must have their lamps lit, much like the virgins of the parable. Will we forfeit our place and privilege if we are drowsing at the last trump? We will not. Of course, there's a difference between ruling and reigning and being snatched away together as part of the body of Christ. because the snatching away is the climax of what? Of an evangel of grace. Therefore, how can it be anything but grace? We can't say that this trumpet will then be like somebody checking whether you're naughty or nice. No, we're past that. Our old humanity was crucified. Now, I want to read this section to finish up today's show. I want to read this section from the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Yeah, my light's totally gone now, almost. That's all right. I can do this in the dark. This is so good. This is A. Enoch. I'm quoting from his book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. None of us could meet him, that is Jesus Christ, in these bodies of humiliation without dire dread and deep despair. We could not bear the glory of his presence in these sin-shattered carcasses. But before we rise to greet his glory, we ourselves will be transfigured. We will meet him with bodies like his own, weak and worn, diseased and dishonored, racked by pain, dying by degrees. Such is our present lot. But then all sorrow and pain and shame will give place to joy and pleasure and glory in the presence of the glorious one. There is no grace to compare with this on earth beneath. There is no grace to compare with this on earth beneath or heaven above, nor will revolving eons ever again see such transcendent favor. We're not going to be embarrassed when Christ comes for us. If he were to appear today as we are, as A. Enoch writes, we could not bear it. And he knows this. So there are procedures, and the procedure is changed first. We shall be changed. Then we rise to greet our Lord, unashamed, basking in the glory of his favor. Nothing like this in the Israel evangel, because when the seventh trumpet sounds, God is indignant. And I remind you again that the nations are angry. Israel alone receives the rewards of faithful work. Faithful work. Work, nonetheless. Grace there is, kind of a sort, but not unmixed with law. The grace of Israel is not unmixed with law. Law is part of it. It's a mixture, as I always say, of law and grace, not Paul. It's unadulterated grace, unmixed, pure. The more sin that comes, the more grace rises to take account of it and to blight it from existence. And I remind you, Israel's call is all upon the earth. It is a glory that is terrestrial, while we enjoy unmerited glory among the celestials. This is the difference between the evangel of Paul and the circumcision. It is the difference between the evangel of the grace of God and the evangel of law mixed with grace. It is the difference of the last trump of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the seventh trump of the unveiling chapter 11. Let us not forget or mix these divine differences.